The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to the 160th episode of the LifeSpring Family Bible. I'm glad you're here. My name is Steve Webb, I'm your host, and today we'll be finishing up the book of 2 Kings and beginning the book of 2 Corinthians. Get free and stay free from inappropriate online content with Covenant Eyes Accountability Software. And try it risk-free and cost-free for 30 days using promo code LifeSpring at CovenantEyes.com or look for the Covenant Eyes link on our show notes page at LifeSpringMedia.com. Let's begin. Second Kings chapter 24. During Jehoiakim's reign, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked. Jehoiakim was his subject for 3 years, but then he rebelled against him. The Lord sent against him Babylonian, Syrian, Moabite, and Ammonite raiding bands. He sent them to destroy Judah, as he had warned he would do through his servants the prophets. Just as the Lord had announced, he rejected Judah because of all the sins which Manasseh had committed. Because he killed innocent people and stained Jerusalem with their blood, the Lord was unwilling to forgive them. The rest of the events of Jehoiakim's reign and all his accomplishments are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Judah. He passed away, and his son Jehoiakim replaced him as king. The king of Egypt did not march out from his land again, for the king of Babylon conquered all the territory that the king of Egypt had formerly controlled between the Brook of Egypt and the Euphrates River. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan, from Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord as his ancestors had done. At that time, the generals of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon marched to Jerusalem and besieged the city. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to the city while his generals were besieging it. King Jehoiakim of Judah, along with his mother, his servants, his officials, and his eunuchs, surrendered to the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon, in the 8th year of his reign, took Jehoiakim prisoner. Nebuchadnezzar took from there all the riches in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of the royal palace. He removed all the gold items which King Solomon of Israel had made for the Lord's temple, just as the Lord had warned. He deported all the residents of Jerusalem, including all the officials and all the soldiers, 10,000 people in all. This included all the craftsmen and those who worked with metal. No one was left except for the poorest among the people of the land. He deported Jehoiakim from Jerusalem to Babylon, along with the king's mother and wives, his eunuchs, and the high-ranking officials of the land. The king of Babylon deported to Babylon all the soldiers, there were 7,000, as well as 1,000 craftsmen and metalworkers. This included all the best warriors. The king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jehoiakim's uncle, king in Jehoiakim's place. He named him Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah, from Libna. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, as Jehoiakim had done. 2 Kings chapter 25. What follows is a record of what happened to Jerusalem and Judah because of the Lord's anger. He finally threw them out of his presence. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came against Jerusalem with his whole army and set up camp outside it. They built siege ramps all around it. He arrived on the 10th day of the 10th month in the 9th year of Zedekiah's reign. The city remained under siege until King Zedekiah's 11th year. By the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine in the city was so severe the residents had no food. The enemy broke through the city walls and all the soldiers tried to escape. They left the city during the night. They went through the gate between the two walls that is near the king's garden. The Babylonians were all around the city. Then they headed for the Jordan Valley, but the Babylonian army chased after the king. They caught up with him in the plains of Jericho, and his entire army deserted him. They captured the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, where he passed sentence on him. Zedekiah's sons were executed while Zedekiah was forced to watch. The king of Babylon then had Zedekiah's eyes put out, bound him in bronze chains, and carried him off to Babylon. On the 7th day of the 5th month in the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard who served the king of Babylon, arrived in Jerusalem. He burned down the Lord's temple, the royal palace, and all the houses in Jerusalem, including every large house. The whole Babylonian army that came with the captain of the royal guard tore down the walls that surrounded Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard, deported the rest of the people who were left in the city, those who had deserted to the king of Babylon and the rest of the craftsmen. But he left behind some of the poor of the land and gave them fields and vineyards. The Babylonians broke the two bronze pillars in the Lord's temple, as well as the movable stands in the big bronze basin called the Sea. They took the bronze to Babylon. They also took the pots, shovels, trimming shears, pans, and all the bronze utensils used by the priests. The captain of the royal guard took the golden and silver censers and basins. The bronze of the items that King Solomon made for the Lord's temple, including the two pillars, the big bronze basin called the Sea, the 12 bronze bulls under the sea, and the movable stands, were too heavy to be weighed. Each of the pillars was about 27 feet high. The bronze top of one pillar was about 4.5 feet high and had bronze lattice work and pomegranate-shaped ornaments all around it. The second pillar with its lattice work was like it. The captain of the royal guard took Seraiah the chief priest and Zephaniah the priest who was second in rank and the three doorkeepers. From the city he took a eunuch who was in charge of the soldiers, five of the king's advisors who were discovered in the city, and an official army secretary who drafted citizens for military service, and 60 citizens from the people of the land who were discovered in the city. Nebuzaradan, captain of the royal guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. The king of Babylon ordered them to be executed at Riblah in the territory of Hamath. So Judah was deported from its land. Now King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, as governor over the people whom he allowed to remain in the land of Judah. All of the officers of the Judahite army and their troops heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah to govern. So they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. The officers who came were Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, Johanan, son of Kariah, Seraiah, son of Tanhumeth, the Netophathite, and Jaazaniah, son of the Maacathite. Gedaliah took an oath so as to give them and their troops some assurance of safety. He said, "You don't need to be afraid to submit to the Babylonian officials. Settle down in the land and submit to the king of Babylon. Then things will go well for you." But in the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, son of Elishama, who was a member of the royal family, came with 10 of his men and murdered Gedaliah, as well as the Judeans and Babylonians who were with him at Mizpah. Then all the people, from the youngest to the oldest, as well as the army officers, left for Egypt because they were afraid of what the Babylonians might do. In the 27th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim of Judah, on the 27th day of the 12th month, King Evil-Merodach of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, pardoned King Jehoiakim of Judah and released him from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prestigious position than the other kings who were with him in Babylon. Jehoiakim took off his prison clothes and ate daily in the king's presence for the rest of his life. He was given daily provisions by the king for the rest of his life until the day he died. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we may be able to comfort those experiencing any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow toward us, so also our comfort toward Christ overflows to you. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort that you experience in your patient endurance of the same sufferings that we also suffer. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you will share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, regarding the affliction that has happened to us in the province of Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of living. Indeed, we felt as if the sentence of death had been passed against us, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He delivered us from so great a risk of death, and he will deliver us. We have set our hope on him, that he will deliver us yet again, as you also join in helping us by prayer, so that many people may give thanks to God on our behalf for the gracious gift given to us through the help of many. For our reason for confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that with pure motives and sincerity which are from God, not by human wisdom, but by the grace of God, we conducted ourselves in the world, and all the more toward you. For we do not write you anything other than what you can read and also understand. But I hope that you will understand completely, just as also you have partly understood us, that we are your source of pride, just as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And with this confidence, I intend to come to you first, so that you would get a second opportunity to see us, and through your help to go on to Macedonia, and then from Macedonia to come back to you and be helped on our way to Judea by you. Therefore, when I was planning to do this, I did not do so without thinking about what I was doing, did I? Or do I make my plans according to mere human standards, so that I would be saying both yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? But as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the one who was proclaimed among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but it has always been yes in him. For every one of God's promises are yes in him. Therefore also through him the Amen is spoken to the glory we give to God. But it is God who establishes us together with you in Christ, and who anointed us, who also sealed us, and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now I appeal to God as my witness that to spare you I did not come again to Corinth. I do not mean that we rule over your faith, but we are workers with you for your joy, because by faith you stand firm. So I made up my own mind not to pay you another painful visit. For if I make you sad, who would be left to make me glad but the one I caused to be sad? And I wrote this very thing to you, so that when I came I would not have sadness from those who ought to make me rejoice, since I am confident in you all that my joy would be yours. For out of great distress and anguish of heart I wrote to you with many tears, not to make you sad, but to let you know the love that I have especially for you. But if anyone has caused sadness, he has not saddened me alone, but to some extent, not to exaggerate, he has saddened all of you as well. This punishment on such an individual by the majority is enough for him, so that now instead you should rather forgive and comfort him. This will keep him from being overwhelmed by excessive grief to the point of despair. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. For this reason also I wrote you, to test you to see if you are obedient in everything. If you forgive anyone for anything, I also forgive him. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did so for you in the presence of Christ, so that we may not be exploited by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Now when I arrived in Troas to proclaim the gospel of Christ, even though the Lord had opened a door of opportunity for me, I had no relief in my spirit, because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them, and I set out for Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ, and who makes known through us the fragrance that consists of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a sweet aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the latter, an odor from death to death, but to the former, a fragrance from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like so many others, hucksters who peddle the word of God for profit, but we are speaking in Christ before God as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God. So today we saw the endings of Kings for Judah, the last remnant of God's people in the Promised Land, and we began this book of 2 Corinthians with Paul writing a second letter to the church at Corinth. Tomorrow, of course, we'll continue in the book of 2 Corinthians. I hope to see you then. I'm Steve Webb. May God bless you richly today.
If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting LifeSpring Media. Details are at lifespringmedia.com.